Rock back. Ping! This is episode 161. 161 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about. And last week in our comments, there was some heated discussion about our view number versus the amount of comments we get per video. And really, the most heated parties were Paul and my boss, Dan.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, who are you going to side with?
You guys were, you know, throwing stats and throwing data at each other. And, you know, basically Paul trying to throw us under the bus.
Never argue with the data.
And hurt our feelings. And my hero, Dan, trying to come in and speak, you know, some stats and some logic to Paul to make him understand why we don't get as many comments per video. Paul, did you have a final rebuttal that you'd like to throw out there? Hopefully it won't be offensive to Channel 9 or our viewers.
I was just responding to longtime viewer and commenter Martin Mine, where he said, I find it a bit odd this video got over 10,000 views and just 3 comments. Maybe something is wrong with the viewer counter. So I have felt this way for a while, and I dug in and looked at some data, and I think Dan has provided a number of really good counterpoints. And I mean, this is his baby, and he lives and breathes this stuff, whereas this is just a small part of what I do, but I thoroughly enjoy it. So, you know, there's some stats out there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there are some stats out there that I think show that there seems to be low engagement compared to the number of views that are presented, and there are like, you know, 5 or 10 different things that could be suspect, or as Dan pointed out in his last post, that, you know, perhaps we shouldn't be rating ourselves against YouTube, which is the market leader in internet video, and perhaps we should be looking at other sites like Vimeo or some other tech news sites.
Right. I mean, I've watched hundreds, thousands of online videos, and I don't think I've ever commented on a video other than Channel 9 videos, like my own videos, my teammates' videos. That's not part of who I am. I mean, do you regularly comment on videos that you watch?
I haven't commented on videos so much aside from on Channel 9, but I am a top commenter on TechCrunch, and I do contribute to other networks on occasion, like Hacker News or on Reddit, and definitely, you know, Facebook and Twitter. I comment quite a bit, so I think that having a good discussion in these forums is definitely useful. And we need to make sure that all I'm saying is that if people want to comment, but there's some barrier or difficulty in getting them to comment, ideally we can figure out what that issue is. Or if there are bugs in the analytics where it may, you know, inflate or show misleading numbers, then, you know, perhaps we fix that or find some internal metric.
I resent that accusation. But well, I do think that while if I find a video that I think is cool, funny, interesting, what have you, normally what I'll do is I'll copy the URL and I'll send it via email to friends and family and whoever. But I think that Channel 9 and hopefully Ping specifically, we try to promote conversation in the forums. So ideally, our comment numbers would go up, since I think that that's the kind of thing we're trying to do, is get interactivity. Whereas I think most videos I just watch, I laugh internally, and I either send or close, but never really comment. But we're trying to create a feeling of family, you know, and community. And so hopefully we can bolster those numbers and get them up.
Yep, and I think that there's definitely a lot of people out there that are capable of commenting but haven't commented, because I remember our 100th episode where we got, I think, over 100 comments. So that was, you know, that was great to see a bunch of people come out of the woodwork. I'm just curious.
Well, what we did there, Paul, what we did there was we bribed them.
That's right.
So
I am curious to see.
If any of the Niners, though, have any thoughts on this matter and whether, you know, it's just not in your best interest to comment, or if it's difficult, or if there's some other reason, like perhaps anyone that actually just watches this on the podcast that rarely comes to, you know, Channel 9's website, if you could log in and let us know what you think, that'd be great.
Yeah, do that. In the meantime, start the show. All right, everybody, the holidays are approaching. In fact, we hope you all had a very wonderful Thanksgiving. Ate lots of turkey. And now it is time to shed the weight, open your wallets, and start shopping. And a lot of you will probably be shopping online if you have friends and family, if anyone to buy for. If you don't, go ahead and just send me presents. That's fine. But if you are doing online shopping, Bing has just launched a new website called ScrewGold.com, where they are claiming that the Google search results when you do shopping are not actually as honest as you might like. And in fact, they're only showing you the vendors who have paid to have their listings be shown. So they're kind of, you know, pulling an old fakey on you and tricking you into thinking that these are your best options for what to buy when you search in, you know, like, men's clothing or whatever, when really it's just a bunch of advertisements. So yep. Says ScrewGold.com.
Yeah, I think that this is definitely an interesting angle that Bing's taking here to get into the shopping space. And I think that, you know, doing ScrewGold.com with a Google-style logo and you know, rhyming with Google is actually a pretty smart domain name. And then the whole angle of showing that all of the listings that are available on Google's shopping site are now have a paid factor to them. And the only way to find that out is through this little drop-down menu that you can hit, and it says, it says why these products, and then, you know, the second sentence in there says Google is compensated by these merchants. And now you know, I did some digging in here, and you know, so Bing goes through with Bing Shopping and basically scrapes the web and figures out relevance like a traditional search engine, which is pretty useful. But Google is trying something different, and it's trying, like, their defense is that they're saying that advertisers and people that have products may be able to put out more relevant curated listings on Google's shopping site. But I think with the, you know, the amazing technology that Google has, especially with Google News and being able to deduplicate and find content in near real time, that is somewhat of a debunked argument, and that this is clearly a way to try and make even more money.
And not to say there's anything wrong with making money, but
No, we're all for that. But be honest about it. Don't try to trick my grandma when she goes into Google.com to buy me something nice, and then she gets a bunch of ads thinking that's the best bang for her buck. Notably, right, missing from any of the Google search results is Amazon, which I personally buy tons of things from, because you can get anything on Amazon.com. And that's because obviously Amazon, a competitor of Google, not paying Google to have their ads up there. So it's bizarre that you can claim you're getting the best search results to shop for whatever product, and then Amazon doesn't come up in the listing.
Yeah, I think that there's a nice rivalry brew in there between Google and Amazon. Amazon is really the site that I go to now whenever I want to buy anything. I'm an Amazon Prime member. I just go straight to Amazon.com. I search for something. One click later, I'm $50 poorer. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and now Stefan Wietz, who we love and adore here at Channel 9, from Bing, he says this is, you know, a playful jab directed at Google, and that their concern is less about holiday shopping, although this is a fun way to sort of poke fun at Google and show them in the light that they, you know, are really, portray them in the light that they really are. But they're worried about news results and things in the future sort of also having these manipulated search results.
Yep. Yeah, and just to be clear, make sure no one's confused, this isn't the Google.com default search engine. It's the special shopping site from, I think it's Google.com/shopping. So it's not like they're It hasn't been revealed if this is the case, but it's not like the organic results from Google.com are being manipulated by this. It's
not yet, Paul. Not yet. But you can read more about it on ScrewGold.com. And in other shopping news, reportedly, last week, Microsoft Xbox 360 console sold over 750,000 console units. That is a lot of happy men, children, women, gamers on Christmas morning and during Hanukkah and Ramadan and whatever you celebrate. A lot of happy people getting in their
Xbox.
What's up?
Festivus,
exactly. A lot of happy people getting their Xbox 360 this holiday season. And essentially what that did, Paul, is it took the sales from the Nintendo U, right? Is it called the Nintendo Wii U, right?
Wii U,
It was in the water, and then we took it and we blew that right out of the water. See how that happened?
I think we're going to see that in slow motion. No, I think Bob's got it. Now he'll have to do like super slow motion. There's like, again, I'm a huge data guy. I love seeing metrics like this. I think one, it's impressive that after 7 years, the Xbox 360 still sold 750,000 consoles in a single week.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
This isn't a new device.
Right.
I thought everyone had one.
Xbox keeps doing things that are pretty amazing, you know, considering they have upgraded the console. They continually make it, you know, quieter. They make it smaller. They're adding in amazing peripherals like the Kinect. They still have phenomenal games that are, you know, at least launching first, if not exclusive to the Xbox platform. And it's just awesome.
Yeah, and it's not just a gaming unit, boys and girls. It's an entire media center, but we know that. We've discussed that.
And anyone
doubting that the Xbox is a necessary addition to your living room, I think it's been proven by these sales that it's a must-have.
Yeah, yeah. 750,000 consoles in just the week with Black Friday, which is almost 2-to-1 over Wii U's 400,000 in their introduction. Now, there are some things that you want to take a look at here. So the price for the Wii U was between $300 and $350, which isn't too surprising for a new device, except for the Wii U's specs.
It's a lot of coin there, Paul.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of coin, but the Wii U's specs are just not really that revolutionary. And, you know, sure, you can get the second screen, the second screen controller, but if you look at the Microsoft ecosystem, Xbox has Smart Glass, so basically any tablet or phone out there can become your second screen or multi-screen experience. So I think Wii U is going to have a difficult time catching on. But I'm still just blown away by 750,000 consoles in a week, because if you look at all the consoles sold in October, it was 270,000. So that's like three times the...
It's still a lot. You know, coming from my days at G4 and the gaming industry, the constant question was, you know, who's going to win the console war? And I think these numbers pretty much speak for themselves, besides the point that... prior to this week, I don't think I'd ever even heard of the Wii U.
Yeah, I think you just destroyed all of your gamer credibility.
Because I'm focused on the Xbox these days, but they're not really marketing that bad boy.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of stuff going on throughout the internet. I know I've seen it on the front page of Reddit quite a bit.
I haven't seen it at all on TMZ.
Well, there you go.
All right, so continuing with the trend of Microsoft blowing things out of the water, apparently the Windows Store, when launched, had more apps than the App Store, And in addition to that, the Windows Store top apps, like that the top 300 apps, are downloaded like 5 times more than the apps in the App Store. Look at that. I think I even read that that this was the largest application store to ever launch, ever, or something like that.
Yeah, the Windows Store had the largest launching app store of all time.
Of all time.
Yep.
So if you do like the time based analysis where it says, you know, 1 day after launch, 30 days after launch, 100 days after launch, you know, the Windows Store seems to be doing incredibly well when you look at those figures. You know, that beats out Android, that beats out iOS, that beats out clearly the Mac Store. But if you do compare the number of apps that are currently available in the Mac App Store, not the iOS App Store,
right?
But the Mac App Store.
We're not talking about iPhones here.
Yep. And you look at Windows. You know, Windows has only been out there after RTM for about 5 weeks, and the Windows Store is already at 21,000 apps compared to the Mac App Store's 13,000 apps. So
which has been around for 2 years, the Mac App
right.
Store.
Right. So
there's definitely, if you look at the desktop versus you know, Apple's desktop versus Windows 8, you know, the Windows Store has significantly more apps, far more downloads, though Mac is still inched out in front of Windows with the number of paid downloads. But I think that will be changing as we get more and more units of Windows in market. And more people actually start purchasing their first app.
Plus, the Windows Store offers a lot more free apps. I think only like 14% of the applications on the Mac Store are free.
Yeah. So the number of free apps that are available in the Windows Store is quite a bit. I am going to be, after this taping, upgrading my desktop to Windows 8, so I'll start to look in there. But I'm imagining that the latest trend is having free apps and then either monetizing that with ads or to have in-app purchases. So it'll be interesting to see how simple that process is firsthand compared to some of the other stores that I've been checking out.
Great. So I mean, I can't help but take some of the credit for this. I mean, I feel like this is evangelism at its best, and the loyal Ping audience has helped to make this possible. Right?
Absolutely.
I have to.
Of course.
Yes. All right, Paul. So earlier we talked about people who comment on videos, people who don't comment on videos, the quality of some of those comments. And one thing that drives me nuts, but we see all the time, are little trolls. Little people who just get their jollies from being anonymous, sitting behind the protection of their computer, and sending nasty messages out to whoever. Haterade, I call it. Haterade. And there's a video online, which we will probably show a clip of and link to, where there's a man who sits behind his desk and just constantly sends his messages and his tweets about how much he hates Internet Explorer. And then at the end of the video, after various updates have been made and they talk about how Internet Explorer gives away kittens, he kind of changes his tune a little bit. And it's obviously a video promoting Internet Explorer and all the new benefits of using it. And personally, I have to say, Paul, I love this video. I think it takes it kind of throws it in the face of the people who are out there doing this, the people who just have it in their head like, I hate Internet Explorer, I hate Microsoft, I hate whatever, without really ever knowing all that we offer and all that it's capable of. And maybe they've formulated this opinion in 1990, you know, and never really went to educate themselves on all the advances that we've made. And it perfectly shows how slowly, one by one, inch by inch, we can change people's opinions and get them to open their eyes to everything we do here at Microsoft.
Yeah, possibly. If they formed their opinion in 1990, I'm pretty sure they'd have to have like a crystal ball in front of them, because I don't think Internet Explorer existed back then. But this ad and the whole marketing campaign that Microsoft has behind Internet Explorer is it just kind of blows my mind in a number of ways. Like, one is just the sheer amount of money that Microsoft must be spending on putting together fairly high quality advertising on being able to change the perception that has been formed over the last decade. And I think that Internet Explorer had, you know, as everyone has said from like the last 5 or 10 years through IE6, Microsoft was like pushing very, very hard, and somewhere around IE4 they started becoming the best browser out there, and then kind of, you know, slacked off once IE6 hit the market, and then have been playing catch up for the last 3 or 4 releases. And now I think that the Microsoft IE marketing team can finally admit that Internet Explorer kind of has had a detour from being the best browser to not being the best browser. And there's not a whole lot that I think that the marketing team can do to change the, you know, all the pain that web developers have felt over the last 5 or 10 years with Microsoft having some proprietary features and standards. But what they can try and do is they can try and address for, you know, every one web developer that's had a painful experience. I'm sure there's 100 people that they've influenced and have hated Internet Explorer on behalf of others. And I think that's where this type of ad campaign comes into play, which is trying to let consumers know that, like, hey, you may have this preformed thought on what Internet Explorer is, but we've seriously made some changes to it and give it another shot.
What they're doing here, Paul, is basic psychology 101, right? It's when you take the power out of the insult. Like, okay, so in the movie 8 Mile, right? So instead of Rabbit, Eminem, letting the other rapper insult him, he took all of the insults the rapper was going to say, and he said them first. So basically what we're doing is we're saying, we know you say this, we know you say this, we know that you've got this, but here it is. So they got nothing left to say. See that? So
yeah.
It's like 8 Mile.
Yeah, you probably should have said spoiler alert in case anyone hasn't seen that movie yet.
Opening scenes.
There's a lot of goodwill that needs to be gained back here, and we'll see if this marketing can pay off. But it definitely needs to be in conjunction with an improved product. And I have yet to try IE10 for a significant period of time, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
All right, we can't wait to hear what you think, Paul. All right, everybody, that's a wrap for this week, Ping episode 161. In case it hasn't been made abundantly clear, please comment. Please make this show more interactive. We want to hear your advice, your thoughts. Don't be a troll, but be a meaningful contributor with valuable things to offer and enhance the experience of watching Ping. Because that's what I try to do, right, Paul?
Yeah,
that's what I'm here for, valuable information. And Paul is here because he's cute.
Yeah,
so follow me
troll
on at Alfoy.
Keep the trolls.
See ya. At Paul Madison.